Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text is the Gospel reading, Matthew 5:21-37, but I also want to include this morning the verse that comes before it from Matthew 5:20. For I tell you that unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. You may be seated. Being a part of a group is an important thing. It is a common theme also of many TV episodes. In this TV series, A Million Little Things, Regina and Rome Howard want to adopt a child. Now, they are African-American, mostly African-American, and Regina attempts to talk with her mother, who wants to be a grandma. Of course, she's white. And in the conversation, her mother comments about how parents want their children to look like them. And she also reminds Regina that when she got married, she didn't see color. With that, Regina responds, yes, but everyone else saw me. I had to live with it. It was hard. I want our child to look like us. I want our child to be a part of my community. Probably nothing worse than being on the outside and wanting in, or realizing that you thought you were in and you're out. Consider this, as a child of God, as a Christian, how good do you have to be for you to get into God's kingdom? For God himself said in Deuteronomy, see, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore choose life, that you and your offspring may live. So we come now to Jesus in Matthew chapter 5, and we'll quickly go through and see how this works out. Jesus makes the first point. You have heard that it was said of old, to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. Yeah, fifth commandment. I've never murdered anybody, and I'm assuming most of you haven't. Nobody's died under my care. Well, maybe a mouse and a lot of mosquitoes. That's not really murder, is it? No problem. I'm still in. Then again, Jesus said, you have heard it said that you shall not commit adultery. Sixth commandment. Simple enough. You might say, well, I'm single. I've never committed that. Or, you know, I married my high school sweetheart. We've been married for 57 years. No problem with that. Yeah, we're still in. And Jesus, he can't leave things alone. He just keeps on pushing harder. He doesn't water ski over the commandments, but plunges into the depths of them, to the depth of their meaning. Jesus includes being angry, holding a grudge. Yeah, but you might say, mine quickly passes. That, no big deal. Then Jesus moves on to insulting others, being liable before the court, and then he steps it up again. And then if you ever called a person you fool, he'll be guilty of the hell of fire. Feeling uncomfortable yet? If not, what about that relative or that person? You know that there's something not right. They won't look at you when you pass by, or they sneer when you got to work with them. And they won't tell you. What does Jesus say then? Well, we could go ahead and reinterpret what Jesus says today as leave your offering in the pew before you bring it to the altar and go reconcile with that person. And if that's not enough, what about when you think you're right and somebody takes you to court? Jesus goes ahead and says, you know, go ahead and settle before you get into the court. Because if you end up being the guilty one, you might have to pay every penny back. If you're still not uncomfortable, and you've not committed adultery, what about your thoughts? Jesus continues to push how hard it is to make yourself a part of the kingdom. And if you really want to be a part of the kingdom, what do you have to do to get rid of sin? How far do you have to push? Well, if your eye causes you to sin, you better pluck it out. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Because that's better than cutting it off and plucking it out than your whole body go into hell. Yeah, but Jesus, what about the left? Your left eye and your left hand. Or maybe your feet. Cut them off too. And then he goes ahead and starts talking about your mouth. The oaths that we take. You going to cut that off too? What about your thoughts? How far do you have to go to get rid of sin? At this point, I hope you're ready to say, what do I do? I'm helpless. I need a Savior. And that's why we're here, right? Because we do have a Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, the very one who speaks these words that could cut us out of God's kingdom, is the one that enables us to be in his kingdom. And yet some people want to say, but Jesus. Well, then he goes on and says a whole lot more, as you can read the rest of the Sermon on the Mount. You notice that Jesus does not throw out the law. But as you heard last Sunday, do not think that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have not come to abolish, but to fulfill them. Truly I say to you, unless heaven and earth pass away, not one iota, not one dot will pass from the law until it is all accomplished. This Jesus fulfills the law for us completely. Remember your baptism. What happened there? Because in remembering our baptism, we should also remember the baptism of Jesus. And there is the glorious exchange where we receive his righteousness and he receives our sin. Yes, our sin. Any lust, any murder, any hateful words, any grudges, all left on him. But then as we live in this world, we also realize that sin isn't just our actions. It isn't what other people have gotten us into as well. It is the corruption of our own bodies, creation itself. Just by the list of prayers, how people's bodies are affected. Even Mike's funeral that was last week, on Tuesday. This is a reminder that death is here because of a sinful, broken world. But that death is also a reminder that Jesus died for every sin. Every sin. So death and corruption were conquered by his resurrection. Death should have separated us, but it did not. In Jesus, we are combined with him. We are joined with him. But you know, it's not just the death and the resurrection that's important. And it's not so that we can just live today, but it's living with God in eternity. And this too Jesus accomplished, because you remember it is not only the death and the resurrection, but there's also the ascension. There at the right hand of God, there God and man are together, not only in Jesus, but before the Father. Humanity has a place before God. And again, remember your baptism. Romans chapter 6 says, we were therefore buried with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we may walk in newness of life, present. Not just in eternity, but now. To walk in the newness of life when it doesn't even seem possible. To walk in the newness of life even when you don't want to. To walk in the newness of life like a child. When we confess our sins and receive the forgiveness of the Lord, we get to start all over again like a little child. To trust Him completely that He's going to take care of it. Even when it's so rough and it looked like it's not going to work out. Just like Abraham, when he seemed to be too old to have a child. Just like Abraham, when it looks like he was going to lose his son through sacrifice. God is faithful. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. We simply trust that Jesus did all and that our Heavenly Father will care for us and bring us through. For in Jesus we're in. In Jesus we can call God our Father. In Jesus He gives us His Holy Spirit so that He continues to work in us by His word. And as a trusting child, we learn to do our best with our broken lives in a broken world. And as a forgiven child of our Heavenly Father, to hold up the good that He worked through us and for Him to say, well done, good and faithful servant. And yet when we fall and bruise the knees of our soul, He bandages them. And when we have trouble coloring in the lines of life because our fingers of life are not fully coordinated with the mind of the Spirit, Jesus gives us a new page for tomorrow and we try again. Because we are. We are, because of Jesus, God's child. Jesus is ours and He is ours. No doubt, because of the cross, because of His death, because of His resurrection, because of His ascension. In Jesus, we're in. Amen. And now the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
For information about our congregation, for service times and schedule, please visit our website at www.standrewlcms.org. Thank you for listening to Sermons Preached at St. Andrew Lutheran Church in West Fargo, North Dakota, a member of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.